Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Becky McRae, and this is our bonus episode on online tools. We had too much great information to fit in just one episode, so we're bringing you a little extra. We have segments from Colleen Wainwright and from Ben Yoskovich, and then I have a few extra things to tell you about this week. So we'll start with Colleen Wainwright, the communicatrix. She's going to be bringing together the online and the offline business resources, and it's all about books and bookmarks.
If you're an avid reader, and especially if you're an avid reader who likes to use the library a lot, like me, there are a lot of ways you can use the web to enhance your reading experience. First of all, if you live in a major metropolitan area and you are a big library user, it's really worth looking into seeing if your library has an online searchable catalog. More and more libraries do, even the smaller ones, because it's so easy to, once everything's cataloged into a computer, to just put it online with a proprietary program. So if you do, what's fantastic, especially in a major metro area, is you can search for the item you're interested in, place a hold on it, have it shipped to your branch, and then you go pick it up whenever you feel like it, which is a pretty nifty deal. It's especially powerful in combination with a service called Library Elf, which is also free. And I put the URL in the show notes. But Library Elf is a free service that emails you updates on all your library stuff, your holds, your checked out items, lets you know when what you have checked out is going to be due or overdue if you've been ignoring your alerts. And it'll keep track of everything. It's fantastic for avid readers who are less than perfectly organized, which I'm sure there are a few of us. And there's a huge list of libraries whose online databases are compatible. And if for some reason you can't find your library on the list, but it happens to subscribe to one of the two major database proprietary systems, you can have it added. You just send them an email and they'll add it, which I think I actually did with the LAPL when I first started using Library Elf. It wasn't on there, which is astounding, but there you go. Another thing, if you're a big reader but you don't always like to pay full price and you're willing to wait a little bit, is half.com. Now, I know there's a lot of used resources for books, but I really like half.com better than Amazon. For personal reasons, which I won't get into, but for another reason, which I will, and that's the wish list. And what it does is keeps a massive wish list of everything you want and the minimum condition that you want the book to be in and the maximum price you're willing to pay for the book or the CD or DVD or whatever it is you want to buy. And then you just forget about it and it will email you an alert when that item comes up in that condition at that price. Of course, when you don't go to the site already, it's not up there. So I found it to be an incredibly useful thing, again, for things that I'm like, well, I want this, but I don't want to pay that much for it, or well, I'm willing to wait for it, or any sort of thing like that that's not an immediate must-have purchase. Finally, it wouldn't be a section on books if there wasn't something on bookmarks. So I'm sure a lot of you know about Delicious already. It's the social bookmarking system that employs tags. It's searchable. It's actually a lot of fun to go in and look at other people's tags and stuff like that and find new discoveries for links. But what I also use it for is bookmarking, things that I want to do. Literally, I use it as a to-do list. So I keep a set of tags that are to do, to read, to buy, to listen, to watch. And they're all right next to each other because, it's alphabetical. And I just tag anything that I might want to come back to. Also, did I say to blog? To blog. That's one of the things I like to do is when I think I might want to blog about something, I'll just keep it in a list. And then when I run a little dry, I can go to the well to blog. And it's very, very useful and fun. And of course, lots of things will, disappear and get squirreled away, but they're easy to find this way on Delicious. So that's it. Those are my handy dandy tips for making reading more fun and fantastic. And if you're a big reader, I'd love it if you check some of them out and let me know how they work for you. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Colleen. Our next segment comes from Ben Yoskovich. He is going to be exploring small business advertising using AdSense and also talks about some of the terrific online tools for using keywords related to your business. Ben?
It seems we've got the opportunity to do a second bonus show on online tools, due in part to the popularity of the subject and, well, let's admit it, shall we, a certain contributor was late with their segment for Tuesday's show. That's okay. It gives us the chance to look at some more online tools that are going to be valuable for your small business. Today I wanted to focus on advertising your website and how you can do that. The most popular approach is through Google AdWords. Google Ads are the text ads you see on top and to the right of search engine results on Google. Almost every keyword imaginable has ads appearing. You can buy Google Ads for your small business. You end up paying a certain amount every time someone clicks on your ad. It's not how often your ad is viewed. What you pay for that click depends on the popularity of the keyword your ad is associated with and the position of your ad. Some keywords are going to be much more popular than others. And popularity of a keyword is based almost entirely on how much people are willing to pay for it. Of course, people are willing to pay more for keywords that are used a lot in Google. For example, let's take the keyword accounting software. Type that into Google. You're going to see approximately 120 million results. That's a ton of results. You're also going to see a lot of ads. You'll even see ads on the second, third, fourth pages of results. You can bet that a lot of people search for the term accounting software, which ultimately makes it a popular keyword. That means the people vying for top spot with their ads are going to constantly increase the price they're willing to pay per click. Getting into that sort of auction game with other competitors is okay, and really it's how Google makes so much money. But what we really want to do is understand what keywords people are searching for and how they'll best find your small business. None of us have unlimited budgets for marketing, let alone for Google Ads, so we need to focus in on the best keywords possible. The way to do that is with a service like WordTracker. Very simply, WordTracker is a website that allows you to analyze the popularity of keywords. You can find out what people are actually searching for and how often. You can find keywords related to the ones that you think are popular or relevant to your business, what I might call those hidden gems that your competitors might not know about. Imagine a reasonably popular keyword tied in a good way to your business with minimal competition. That means the price of advertising with Google will be lower, and you're bound to get higher click-through rates. That's money in the bank. Now, WordTracker isn't a free service, but it's inexpensive enough that if you start to do a considerable amount of advertising with Google or other similar search engines like Yahoo, you're going to want to invest. For a one-year subscription, it costs $265.31. I have absolutely no idea how they came up with such a strange number for pricing, but that's what their website says. You can also pay monthly, weekly, or even for a day of use. There's also a free trial with basic services, but not the full-blown functionality. Ultimately, advertising on Google does work. It's not a perfect system, and there are no guarantees, but it works. And it's pretty easy to set up. You can start almost immediately by visiting Google's website. Go to www.google.com/AdWords. AdWords is AdWords. And if you want to look at WordTracker, visit their website at www.wordtracker.com.
Thanks, Ben. Next, I'm going to tell you a little bit about online directories as a resource. When I got started using online systems, I looked at a lot of directories and kept thinking that there ought to be one comprehensive place for any given set of information, whether that was a list of job openings or a directory of podcasts. There ought to be one place where they're all listed and all available. The unfortunate truth of the internet is that's not really true. There are some places that get close, lots of places call themselves comprehensive, but no one has absolutely everything. So it's important to look around at lots of different resources anytime you're investigating any particular subject. So for example, when you're looking for more podcasts, one place to start is with the big names like iTunes, but with some of the smaller names like All Podcasts or Feeds to Read or Gigadial. All of those are great podcast directories that I'll put links to on our site, but you have to remember that no one site has all of them. So how do you make the most of them besides just going from site to site and spending a lot of time? The key to making the most of online resources like that is for you to participate. Almost all directories of any kind give you a chance to rate the resource or to write a review. So When you go to an online directory, be sure to leave a comment if you know something about the particular resource being listed. So in podcast directories, for example, go ahead and comment and vote on those podcasts you've listened to. If it's a community directory, then go ahead and talk about those businesses that you've had experiences with and whether that's good or bad. By doing that, you're participating in the community of the web, and you are offering your experience to make it easier for other people. So you benefit from seeing those great reviews, so be sure that when you use a resource, that you leave those great reviews as well. That's it for this great bonus episode of the Great Big Small Business Show. I do want to always mention our listener line. We are having a special offer right now that if you'll call our listener line with any business question whatsoever, we're going to go to our list of 10 business experts and try to find some terrific answers for you. Our listener line number is 206-600-6158. I know it takes a little bravery to call it and ask a good question, but we're dying to hear from you. So pick up the phone and give us a call. You can also just go to our website and leave your question as a comment. And then that way you don't have to worry about what you sound like or get worried about any of it. The key point here is participate, just like I was just talking about. Once again, our listener line number, 206-600-6158. Thanks again for listening to the Great Big Small Business Show. Thanks to Colleen Wainwright and Ben Yoskovich for giving us segments for this week's bonus show. And tune in and listen again next week when we'll be talking about building client relationships. Thanks and have a great week.